Welcome to Hardwood Handicappers with Zach Cohen, right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. This is Zachary Cohen, VSiN.com senior editor, with another episode of Hardwood Handicappers. Hardwood Handicappers is sponsored by Better Picks, the fantasy app that turns your basketball takes into cash. The Better app uses the code VSINPOD, VSINPOD, to get $10 free, no deposit needed. That's VSINPOD, get $10 free, no deposit needed. That link is available in the description. We are recording this at 9:40 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, November 18th. Cloudflare is down everywhere, but we are still up. We are going to start by talking about the injury news from yesterday, the news that kind of shook things up a little bit. Victor Wembanyama will be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks with a left calf strain. There are some ramifications for this. I would say that in terms of the team success for the San Antonio Spurs, it's not so bad, in my opinion. Like, I don't think that they're going to really fall out of the picture too much. I mean, when you look at the Western Conference playoff standings, they definitely want to be in the top six, and maybe towards the end of these 2-3 weeks, they won't be. I mean, they've gotten off to a great start this season, currently in fifth place in the West, but I don't think they're going to fall too much further than eighth. And if Wemby does come back and there are no setbacks, there is going to be a lot of basketball left to be played for San Antonio to just kind of crawl back up. And I do think that they are, you know, the fifth or sixth best team in the West. So I think that they are going to get back to where they want to get, as long as he doesn't suffer another injury, you know, a little bit further down the road. What really matters with the Wembanyama injury is the awards markets. Like, this is a guy that was minus 250 to win Defensive Player of the Year. I wrote about this at VSiN.com yesterday. He's a player that's going to be favored to win Defensive Player of the Year as long as he is healthy and just, you know, not banged up and is playing well. And I do think that this is a situation where we're probably talking about 7 to 10 missed games for him as they try to kind of get him back to full health. And I do think they're going to be a little bit more cautious than anything. Like, this is one of the most important players, not just in the Spurs organization in basketball. Like, I don't think that they want to risk him coming back and either re-injuring that calf or even worse, you know, tearing his Achilles, which we have seen kind of a link between the two in pretty much all sports. So I think that we're going to see him miss a pretty healthy chunk of games. And why that matters is Wembanyama needs to play 65 plus games in order to win MVP, which I think is a long shot, but in order to win Defensive Player of the Year, which I really thought was his award, like it was last year before he, you know, went down with the blood clots. I think that now we're looking at a market that is kind of wide open. Chet Holmgren is the new favorite to win, available at plus money odds. I would actually be looking at a different player on his team if I were talking about a Thunder player winning. I think Isaiah Hartenstein would be my Defensive Player of the Year right now. But there's a lot of time for other people to steal this, and there are a lot of players worthy of consideration. I was just talking with former co-hosts of this podcast, Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin, about it. Rudy Gobert looks like a really good play out there at 55 to 1. Like, I think that Gobert hasn't looked great to me in terms of the eye test, but the numbers all look really good. And there's going to be other players that make a lot of cases over the next couple of weeks, with one maybe also being Amen Thompson for Houston. So Defensive Player of the Year now wide open, in my opinion. Wemby will be back and have a chance to play 65 games. But with the way that they take their time with him, with every minor injury, and with the way that they're careful with him on back-to-backs, I could just see them, I don't know, it's just hard to see him not missing, you know, more than 6-7 games the rest of the season, even when he is back. Other takeaways from yesterday, it wasn't a lot. I mean, we had a really good day with the podcast, 2 good days in a row for me, which were much needed after a couple of ice cold days there. But Chicago goes into Denver and wins outright as a 13.5 point underdog, plus 600 on the money line before the game. Just an absurd road victory for a Bulls team that continues to overperform and exceed expectations to start the year. Another big number game for Josh Giddey, but overall just a fun game out there in Denver that I don't know. It's a Nuggets team that I don't think we thought would lose those types of games, you know, being double-digit favorites. I think that we thought that team could be trusted to win the types of games they're expected to win. So seeing them kind of lose one was a little crazy. But yeah, a fun night of hoops. I'm looking forward to tonight, though. We'll get into the Tuesday slate now. We will start with Warriors at Magic, 7 p.m. Eastern. Magic are getting 3.5 at home, total 223.5. There are some injuries in this game. No Banchero for the Magic again. Jalen Suggs is questionable. And this is a game in which I would normally be looking to the Orlando side, but with Suggs being questionable, it's a little hard for me to jump on it. Instead, I think that the play in this game is the under. I mean, I really hate taking unders. I do it. I just kind of close my eyes and hope for the best. I can't even watch them. It's just too hard in the modern NBA where so many threes are going up. But I do think that no Banchero for the Magic hurts them offensively and probably helps them defensively. I mean, you're just throwing in a few more players that can defend. There's more minutes for guys like Jonathan Isaac, you know, an elite defender out there. And Franz Wagner becomes kind of the number one option where he's been able to do it, but he definitely needs a little bit of help offensively. And I'll say the Warriors are seventh in the league in defensive rating this year. Magic are 12th, but also seventh over the last five games. And like I said last episode, they are starting to perform a little bit more like what we've seen over the last 2 years, which was a top five defense. So I think this is a matchup between two of the elite defenses in the NBA. I don't think either one of these teams plays, you know, particularly fast. Both teams like either 15th or worse in pace of play. And then the under is 5-2 in the last seven Magic home games. And since the start of last season, the under is 7-3 when the Magic are home underdogs of six or fewer. So I think under 223.5 is the way to go in this game, but I wouldn't go too big on it. I'll play it for a single unit. Moving on, Boston Celtics at Brooklyn Nets. Celtics 10.5-point favorites, total 223.5 again. This game is at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Nets actually coming off a 23-point win over the Wizards in what was, you know, one of the few toilet bowls we'll see this season. You know, two teams that are very much in play in the Darren Peterson, AJ DeBonsa, Cam Boozer mix atop the 2026 NBA draft lottery. But it was a game Brooklyn won. Now 2-0-1 against the spread in their last three games. Meanwhile, Boston is 3-6 against the spread in their last nine. I would actually lean Nets here getting the points. I just think it's a lot of points for a Nets team that's actually played pretty well under Jordy Fernandez when playing against these offensive-minded, up-tempo teams. I mean, Brooklyn is 5-1 against the spread since the start of last season when playing against teams that averaged 93 or more shots per game. Also 4-2 straight up in those games. So they've really enjoyed playing against these teams that kind of play at warp speed, play with, you know, a trigger-happy style. But my actual only play in this game will be Jordan Walsh over 12.5 points and rebounds, which is available at plus 105. Walsh has gone over the 12.5 points and rebounds mark in five of the last seven. A lot of that has to do with his rebounding. He's had 6+ rebounds in six straight games. Not exactly the most trustworthy scorer in the world. He's really just, he's not a perimeter shooter. Doesn't have much of a bag, as the kids would say, but he is a good transition player. He is a relentless offensive rebounder. And I think that, you know, playing against a Nets team that can be a little bit careless in a game that, you know, could be a little ugly, I just think that his tenacity will lead to a couple of ugly buckets. And I think this is a game where he kind of shows up on the stat sheet again. He's been one of, you know, the early surprises for a Celtics team that is kind of throwing things at the wall and hoping they stick in rotation pieces. Obviously, no Jason Tatum. This team traded a lot of players over the offseason as well, hoping that some of those end of rotation pieces can become factors moving forward when Tatum does come back. Walsh is one of the ones, a draft pick from a few years ago, that is getting an opportunity, and I think he's going to play pretty well tonight. Last game, before we take a quick break to announce the Visa newsletter, Pistons at Hawks, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. This is a game where the Pistons are laying 1.5 on the road. Total is 230.5. Mentioned it last episode as well. Hawks are 6-2 over the last eight games. All games played without Trae Young. They are a top five team defensively without Young and a top 10 team offensively without him at the moment. Just a team that's playing very, very well. However, you know, even with this eight game sample size, Detroit's been better than them. I mean, Detroit's on a 10 game winning streak entering this one. I think the Pistons are a very, very difficult matchup for the Hawks when they are healthy. And I do think they're going to be healthy tonight. Cade Cunningham and Ausar Thompson were both listed as questionable for last night's game against the Pacers. Both of them did not play in what was a blowout win for Detroit. I think that Detroit made the decision to hang those guys back and play them in the more difficult of the two, you know, back-to-back games. So I think we're going to see all of the bodies out there, except for maybe Tobias Harris for the Pistons. And this is a Detroit team that is third in the league in defensive rating. I think that my question marks with Atlanta when Young is out is whether or not they can score efficiently offensively. So I think that the Pistons are going to do a pretty good job of limiting what the Hawks can get for themselves. I know Jalen Johnson is going to make some plays in this game. Like, that's just what he does. He's just such a special player as a big forward that can handle the ball. But outside of him, I think it's going to be tough for the Hawks to kind of create good looks. And I think it's going to be a close game late. And if Cade is out there, like, this is a game where I want to have Detroit, because I just think that Cade is the best closer on either team. And I think that the Pistons find a way to get the job done. So Pistons money line for me in this game, that's out there at minus 105 if you search hard enough. And then, yeah, we'll get into the next game in a second. But anybody that's new to VSiN, I just wanted to say that signing up for our free daily newsletter is a great way to catch up on all things sports. Delivered straight to your inbox every morning, VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, and strategies for the day's betting menu. Sign up for free now at vsin.com/newsletter and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That's vsin.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. Let's now move into some of the later games. We will start with Grizzlies at Spurs at 8 p.m. Eastern. Spurs laying 5.5, total 232.5. We just mentioned Wemby's out for the Spurs. That's not it for San Antonio. They're also missing Stephon Castle, who's been, you know, stellar to start this season as both an assist man, a point of attack defender, a scorer. Castle's made a leap in year two, which is, you know, scary considering he was the best rookie in year one. But also for the Grizzlies, a ton of injuries with John Morant also being out 1 to 2 weeks. Ty Jerome still not back. Scottie Pippen Jr. still not back. I think the Grizzlies are really depleted in the backcourt right now. I don't really have a lean for this game when you're talking about sides and totals, because there's so much uncertainty with the injury reports. The one thing that I have set in stone here is De'Aaron Fox over 7.5 assists at minus 125. With no Castle, there's just going to be a lot for Fox to do offensively, and he's going against a Grizzlies team that I think is terrible defensively right now. Fox over the last two games is averaging 10.5 assists per game. But even better than that, he's averaging 14 potential assists per game and 15 adjusted assists per game. So he's setting guys up for really good looks. Looks that NBA.com's tracking data believes that his teammates should be making. The 15 adjusted assists says that. Like, it says that these should have been assists in better situations. And I just think he's a guy that is thriving as a creator right now. And while things might be a little bit more difficult for him in terms of finding teammates' buckets when Wembanyama's out, and that's a guy that can score 30 on any given night, I think that we saw really good performance from Fox last game against his former team, the Kings. And I thought he looked really good in the pick and roll with Luke Kornet. And I think we're going to see a little bit more of that tonight. So Kornet's also a player as well that if you're looking at some player props, I'm probably not going to add anything on him, but another player that maybe to flirt with, you know, 10 plus points with Wemby, and maybe to flirt with a double double, which you could probably get at plus money odds. Next game we'll talk about, one of the bigger ones of the night because of some storylines, but Jazz at Lakers, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Lakers 12.5-point favorites, over under 237.5. LeBron James looks like he will be back for the Lakers tonight. He was upgraded to questionable yesterday. We saw he did a stint with the G League team with the South Bay Lakers, getting himself healthy, getting himself right. He said yesterday that he is ready to go. He's feeling good, and he's not worried about the way he's going to fit in with this team. I'm a little bit worried about how he'll look early on. Like, I'm not worried about the long-term fit. LeBron said it himself. Like, he's a positionless player. He's a selfless player. He can impact games in a million different ways. Like, he's not the type of player you really have to worry about fitting in on any roster, but especially a team that can use a player at the power forward position where LeBron's going to fit seamlessly, whether that's handling the ball a little bit, you know, running some offense and taking, you know, a little bit of the burden off Luka and Reeves, which I actually don't think that they should do with him, or, you know, being a little bit more of a play finisher and a scorer at this stage in his career, which is what I would like to see from LeBron. I think that that would kind of help the Lakers in the short term, but also help LeBron in the long term. Like, I just think that they could really extend his career here if he were to want to stay with Los Angeles past this year, which definitely seems like it's not a definite. Hey, I know that there's been a lot of talk about them getting him, you know, maybe back to Cleveland or somewhere else. But I do think that this is a situation that could be really good for him. Just letting Reeves and Luka do all of the hard work handling the ball and just kind of pick your spots and come and go, checking yourself in and out of games mentally as an offensive player, that might be able to extend his career a little bit. But as far as tonight goes, like, I do think that it might be a little difficult for them to get him involved without sacrificing kind of the flow of the offense, which has been really good to start the year. So if I were taking anything in this game in terms of sides, I'd probably go Utah plus 12.5. I just think that that's a lot of points. This Jazz team has been very competitive this season. Also 59-54 against the spread as road underdogs under Will Hardy in general. And just not a team in general that you can, you know, just expect to blow out. Like, there is some real talent here with Utah. And I think that this is a game that has the potential to be pretty close if the Lakers don't look really good right out the gates. But the one play that I'm going to make here is Ace Bailey over 11.5 points. Minus 105, and I'm going to sprinkle 15 plus at plus 200. It's a tough one. He just had 5 points in a game where he fouled out in 10 minutes. I had the over there as well. It was a perplexing, you know, flabbergasting performance in what was a dream matchup against a Bulls team that plays at a rapid pace, and it was a game that ended up in overtimes featuring the teams combining to score 297 points, yet we still did not see much from Bailey because he just got in foul trouble. But Bailey did have 12-plus points in 3 of the 4 games before that. He had 20-plus points in back-to-back games before that. I think this might be a buy-low opportunity on a player that was clearly starting to find himself offensively before getting into foul trouble in that game. And I think that there are double-digit shot attempts for him if he's able to avoid the foul trouble this game. And this is a player that can score in a number of different ways. Like, he's a very good shooter at his height of 6'9". He's got, you know, some tremendous athleticism, so he can, you know, kind of impact games as a transition player, as a finisher when he's cutting to the rim. I think that Utah is getting comfortable with the ways they want to use him off the ball. And I think that Bailey's working himself into better shape, which is something that Will Hardy has said needs to happen after a bit of a slow preseason. So I think that Bailey bounces back with 12 plus, and I think that 15 plus is worth a sprinkle at plus 200 odds. It's a really good payout. And I think that that's the way that I would take this game. So Bailey on over on the points. And if you are desperate for a side, I'd go Jazz. And then the last game of the night, Suns at Blazers. This is a late game, 11 p.m. Eastern. This one's on national TV. The Blazers are laying 2.5, totals 237.5. This is a game where I would like to say that the Phoenix Suns would bounce back. They blew an 18-point lead against the Hawks last game. They've been, you know, a borderline top 10 team on both offensive and defense this year, but I will note that I'm wearing a Suns shirt. Maybe there's some bias bleeding through, but I'm actually not playing Phoenix in this game just because I do think that this is a game where, you know, the holiday is going to be out for the Blazers. It's a big loss. I do think Portland's backcourt is a little too depleted right now to afford a loss like this. But at the same time, Phoenix is also, you know, not really healthy right now. Grayson Allen and Jalen Green both remain out for the Suns. And while the Suns have played a lot better basketball over the last couple of weeks, pretty much all of that has come at the Mortgage Matchup Center. The Suns have been a very, very good home team to start this year, but just 2-4, both straight up and against the spread on the road. I'm not sure that I trust them to go into a very difficult road environment. The Moda Center is a very tough place to win. It's been that way historically. And I just don't know if this young team that, coming off a really bad loss, you know, bounces back the way that you'd expect. I'd maybe look to some player props in this one. I don't have any right now. Maybe I'll have some up at VSiN.com a little bit later when you check out my stories. I will have one on both sides and totals over on the website at VSiN.com. And then I will also have some player props. And usually I do add a few. So maybe this is a game where I'll look to do that, but nothing for me there. Before recapping the best bets for this episode, let's just talk about better picks again. If you think you can read matchups, rotations, and usage, prove it on Better Picks. Pick more or less on player stat lines and turn your basketball analysis into real money. Right now, use code VSINPOD to get $10 free, no deposit required. Make 2 sharp picks and you could win up to 1,000 times your entry. It is live in 33 states. Download Better and get in the game. All right, so let's recap the picks from today's episode. My Tuesday best bets are Warriors Magic under 223.5 at minus 105. Jordan Walsh over 12.5 points plus rebounds at plus 105. Pistons money line at minus 105. De'Aaron Fox over 7.5 assists at minus 125. Then Ace Bailey over 11.5 points at minus 105. That'll probably be a 1.5 unit play for me. And then Ace Bailey alternate points 15 plus at plus 200. That'll be a half unit play for me. Just a small taste of plus 200. I think there's a shot he gets there. So that's all for today's picks. Let's hope that we keep this good run going. And please join me on the Wednesday episode of Hardwood Handicappers. We will have a lot to get into. Good luck with your bets tonight.